Balaam, chapter 44. The land of the two kings, Sihon and Og, who were defeated by the Israelites, was very fruitful and consisted mostly of pastures. Plenty of grass grew there. Two tribes of the children of Israel, the tribe of Reuben and the tribe of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, had very many flocks and herds, thousands of cows and sheep. This made it necessary for them to live in a land where grass grew plentifully. The land of Sihon and Og, being all pasture land, was just suitable for them. They went to Moses and asked him, "Give us the land of Sihon and Og. We will not need any land in Canaan proper. We will be satisfied with this." Moses agreed, but they must promise one thing. First, they must march over Jordan and help their brethren in the battles against the Canaanites. "Do they do it?" "Yes." "We will march in front," they answered. The Israelites march onward along the river Jordan toward the south. In the distance, on the other side of the river, they can see the towers and walls of a large city. It is Jericho. In the Bible, we read that they pitched in the plains of Moab. This does not mean that they came into the land of the Moabites itself, no, and they were not permitted to do that, were they? It means that they pitched their tents at the borders of Moab. However, this made Balak, the king of the Moabites, afraid. "Oh," he thinks, "it is now my turn. They are returning to conquer my country." Balak need not be afraid. The Israelites would not harm him. But Balak does not trust it. If the Israelites should invade his kingdom, he will lose. He saw what had happened to Sihon and Og. He had heard about the plagues in Egypt and the wonders performed in the wilderness. "It is useless to fight against this people. The strongest armies are put to flight by the Israelites." Balak is afraid of this people, but especially afraid of the God of this people. He has heard about him. The God of the Israelites is a mighty God, a God who can perform miracles. What must he do? In his terror, he seeks help. Another nation dwells nearby. They are the Midianites. He sends a few messengers to them. "Will you help me?" he asks. "Make a league with me. We will fight against the Israelites. Together we can defeat them." The Midianites are willing. Their soldiers, with the soldiers of the Moabites, will form a large, powerful army. Balak, the king of Moab, is still afraid. Alas, he did ask the Midianites to help him, and they have consented, but he knows it will be of no use if the mighty God of the Israelites helps them. His soldiers surely will be defeated. He cannot sleep at night. He lies awake hour after hour thinking about it. He doesn't know what to do. One day he hears something. "Yes, yes, he will do that. He will do that. That will help." The terrible terror lessens somewhat. He has found a way to defeat the Israelites. If that succeeds, then he is delivered. What did he hear? What will he do? No doubt, children, you are curious to know these answers. Very far away in Mesopotamia lives a prominent man in a beautiful house. This man's name is Balaam. All the people of Mesopotamia know this man, or at least have heard of him. Balaam is a fortune teller. Many people come to him to ask advice or help. He blesses and he curses. By doing this, he earns his living. He is something like a prophet, but he is not a true prophet. He is not a prophet who is called by God. Oh no, he has made himself a prophet. Probably Balaam was a descendant of Nahor, the brother of Abraham, who remained in Mesopotamia when Abraham went away. Balaam heard of the wonders which had happened in Egypt. He also heard that the God of the Israelites was a mighty God, and he thought, I am going to worship this God too. But Balaam did not worship the Lord in truth, not uprightly, no, he only worshiped the Lord in name. The people came to Balaam to be blessed by him. When they had an enemy, they would ask Balaam to curse that enemy. Balaam was glad to do it, for he earned money by doing what the people wanted. Once more, the door of Balaam's house is knocked upon. He opens the door. A small group of men stand before his home, and he invites them in. Who are you? He asks. Where do you come from? What do you want? These men, these foreigners, tell him that they have come from the land of Moab. Balak, their king, has sent them. They came to ask Balaam to go with them. Why must I come with you? He asks. The men answer, a strange people has come out of Egypt, and we are afraid that they will invade our country. We fear that war will come. Will you please come with us? You must curse this people. They are so strong, so powerful. Of course, you do not have to do it without pay. You can earn a lot of money. Balak shall reward you richly. Balaam's face brightens. Earn money? Get rich? That is just what he wants. Naturally, his plan is to go with them, to be sure. But he doesn't say that. He is too sly for that. Do you know what he does, boys and girls? He thinks for a moment and then says seriously, you must sleep here tonight, and I will ask the Lord if I may go. But that is not the truth. He does not intend to ask the Lord. First, he will have a good sleep, and on the morrow he will tell them that the Lord told him that he may go along. In this way, they will be more impressed. Balaam is a deceiver. Balaam is a hypocrite. A little later, it becomes quiet and calm in the home of Balaam. Everyone has gone to bed. Balaam also lies upon his bed, but he cannot sleep. He is so glad. Tomorrow he will journey with these men. How much money will Balak give him? He is already counting it in his hand. He longs for the following day. Oh, if the night only were past, and the light would come again. Does he ask the Lord? Balaam doesn't give that a thought. He will do it. He will go along, and that is final. But Balaam, what did you say to those men? You promised, didn't you, that you would ask God? Yes, that is true. He did promise them, but he did that to deceive those people. Suddenly, Balaam frightens exceedingly because he hears a voice. Balaam does not go to God, but God comes to him. He never expected anything like that. Who are these men that are lodging with you tonight? Asks the Lord. Yes, now he must tell it. They are Moabites, who came to ask me to go with them tomorrow. A strange but mighty people has come out of Egypt. and the king of the Moabites has asked if I will curse that people, Balaam answers. The Lord then says, Balaam, you may not go. You are not allowed to curse that people, for I have blessed that people. They are my people. Balaam thinks that a pity. Now he will not receive any of the gold and silver or honor for which he had longed. But there is nothing to do about it. He doesn't dare disobey the Lord. In the morning he says to the strangers, I am not going with you. I am not permitted. The Lord has forbidden me. See, they go away disappointedly. Balaam watches them go. He is also disappointed, probably much more so than his guests. Sighing, he re-enters his house. A few weeks later, more Moabites come. Balak has sent different messengers the second time. This time they are the most distinguished men of his country. Balaam, they say, you must come along. You must curse that people. Children, Balaam should have said, I will not do it, for the Lord has forbidden me. But Balaam does not say that. I will ask the Lord again, he promises them. Yes, he is so anxious to go. Lord, may I? Let me go with them, he whines. And the Lord answers, All right, go. But you may only say what I shall speak to you. Balaam is so happy. Now that he may go, the other things will also come to rights. Probably by the time he arrives there, the Lord will permit him to curse that people. Then the promised gold is his. I may go, I may go, he says pleasantly to the men on the following morning. He gets ready in nervous haste. See him locking his home and mounting his ass. He is cheerful and glad. It is his secret plan to do as he wishes. The ass walks calmly forward, and Balaam is enjoying himself with the prospect of the wealth and honor which he will receive there. Suddenly, he is frightened out of his meditation. The ass leaves the road and walks in the field. Why does that animal do that? There is nothing to be seen in the road. Balaam cannot understand it, and he gets angry at the ass and hits it. The ass walks in a large arc and returns to the road. A little later, Balaam rides between the vineyards. Walls are built along the road to keep everyone from walking in the vineyard. Suddenly, the ass walks to the side of the road and goes close to the wall, so close that Balaam's leg scrapes the stones. Ouch! That is painful. Balaam gets very angry and hits the ass again. It goes well for a short distance until the road becomes very, very narrow. Undoubtedly, high rocks are on both sides. All at once, the ass lays down upon the ground and refuses to go ahead one step. Balaam becomes furious. What is the matter with that animal? His desire is to arrive in Moab as quickly as possible, and that irksome beast does nothing but hinder him. He takes a stick and thrashes the ass unmercifully. Yes, he would even kill it. And then something wonderful happens. Suddenly, the ass begins to talk. What? That is impossible. Children, Let us read together what God's word says in Numbers 22, verse 28. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said to Balaam, What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? Balaam is so angry that he doesn't take notice that something very unusual has happened. He answers angrily, Because you will not go forward. If I had a sword, I would pierce you to death. Then Balaam suddenly becomes white from fright. In front of him stands an angel with a drawn sword. He didn't see this angel at first, but the ass had. That is the reason the ass had gone off the road the first time, had walked so close to the wall the second time, and now this third time it lies down. The poor animal did not dare pass the angel. Balaam now sees the angel too, for the Lord had opened his eyes. Hearken! The angel speaks. He says, You hit your ass three times, but the animal didn't deserve it. The ass has saved your life, because if you had ridden on, I would have killed you. You are going against my will. You do not plan to do as I command you. You still want to curse that people. Balaam is terror-stricken. He asks tremblingly, Must I return? No, go with them now, but keep in mind that you may say only those things which I tell you. Balaam travels further and soon reaches Moab. Balak, the king of the Moabites, is very glad. He had heard about Balaam and had sent for him. He had been so disappointed when Balaam hadn't come the first time, but now he has come anyway. That is fine. Balak prepares a great feast in honor of Balaam. The following morning, Balak takes Balaam for a climb up a high mountain. In the valley below, and they can see thousands of tents belonging to the Israelites. Balaam tells them to build seven altars. An ox and a ram are offered upon each altar. But why seven altars, since one would have been sufficient? Balaam thought, If I bring a large sacrifice, the Lord will probably give me permission, and I can still curse the Israelites. He tries to bribe the Lord. Foolish Balaam! The Lord cannot be bribed. Balaam walks away a short distance and asks, Lord, what must I say? Then the Lord makes known to Balaam what he must say. See, he comes back. He waits a moment. It is deathly quiet. Then he begins, How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? How shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? And then he begins to tell how the Lord has blessed the Israelites, that people shall become great and powerful. Oh, he says, I wish that I could be as that people, because God will protect and keep them. Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Balak hears this and becomes angry. Stop that, he yells. I sent for you to curse that people, but you are blessing them. I can't do anything about it, Balaam excuses himself. I must bless the people of the Lord. Then Balak takes him to another place and says, "Try it again." "Oh, Balak, how foolish you are. God does not change. God never changes." Again, 7 altars are built. Another 7 oxen and 7 rams are sacrificed. And Balaam blesses that people again. He must bless them, for he can do nothing else. In this way, Balaam blessed the Israelites 4 times. He said that one day a king would come from that people who would deliver them from their enemies, also from the Moabites. With this king, he meant the Lord Jesus. Balak is furious. "Go away," he snarls at Balaam. "Go away. I did promise you that I would make you rich, but now that you have blessed this people, you shall receive nothing. Yes, nothing." Balaam thinks that a pity. He had hoped that he would return to his home a wealthy man, and he receives nothing. Then Balaam does something very mean. He says to Balak, "Do you know what you should do? You must prepare a great feast and in a friendly way invite the Israelites to come to your feast. If you are successful, the Lord will be angry with the people and he will punish them." "Yes, we will do that," Balak answers. So Balak prepares a great feast and asks the Israelites to come. And do they? Yes, the Israelites come and celebrate this feast with the heathen Moabites and Midianites. They bow themselves before the idols of these 2 heathen nations. Isn't that dreadful? The Israelites are so ungrateful. The Lord has taken such good care of them. He has changed the curse into a blessing. And is this the gratitude? They forsake the Lord and take part in this ungodly feast. What Balaam has said happened. Israel was punished by the Lord for their sins. 24,000 Israelites died. They were chastised, but not rejected. The Moabites and Midianites also were punished. The curse was pronounced upon the Moabites, and the army of the Midianites was completely defeated. Thousands of Midianite soldiers were slain. Later, when the Israelites buried these dead bodies, they also found the body of Balaam. So God also punished Balaam for his wickedness. He never reached his home again. This has been a nice, but at the same time, a terrible story, hasn't it? This history is recorded in the Bible to warn us. If you go to places where you do not belong, or if you join with all kinds of ungodly celebrations, the time will come when you will be punished. The same God of Israel who punished that people still lives. Think about that most seriously, children.